Okay, first let's do a little housekeeping. I want to cover a few questions that people asked out at the information desk last week. So first of all, I have rarely ever done this, undressed in public, but the question some people said is CR for everyone. What does it say? CR is for me, okay? That means it's for every one of us. So let me cover a couple of the different, or some of the different subjects that are talked about in Celebrate Recovery. Codependency. Codependency, some of you may not understand, that's a big word, but basically it means, do you look at somebody else's needs more than your own? Now, in some ways, that sounds like a very Christian concept. But when I give up my needs and my own comforts and what is good for me for the sake of someone else just to make them happy, that is called codependency, and it can be very dangerous. And a lot of people struggle with that. How about if you're an enabler, a people pleaser? Do you have problems with anger, grief? You know, there's many types of grief. It doesn't have to be. I know we've had a lot of people in the last few weeks that we've lost here at Leander. And so I know many may be grieving, but also you can grieve from loss of job, loss of all kinds of finances, things like that. We go through those stages of grief in a very similar way. We talk about those things. PTSD. At our church back in Richmond, we had many veterans that had suffered with PTSD. Mental health, food, both too much and too little. If people have had problems with self-harm, sexual purity, abuse, and then, of course, the things that a lot of times people think about Celebrate Recovery, drugs and alcohol. All those things are covered, but all those things that we talked about, almost all of us have dealt or know someone that struggled with one of those things. So I wanted to cover, first of all, is it for me or is it for just those kind of people? In Celebrate Recovery, a lot of times we say, well, it's for those kind of people. We're all those kind of people. What's the difference between Celebrate Recovery and AA, Alcoholics Anonymous? Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based 12-step program. In AA, they talk about a higher power. In Celebrate Recovery, we talk and we claim who the higher power is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have to be a leader to be in Celebrate Recovery? Absolutely not. We're going to need a few leaders, but Celebrate Recovery, what we're talking about, is just for everybody to get involved. So, let me give you some dates and some things that we're talking about with the rollout of Celebrate Recovery. This Saturday, October 10th, I talked about that last week, the little trailer of the movie that we had. This Saturday at 7 o'clock, we're going to show a movie which is named Home Run, which features a Celebrate Recovery program, and we'll have popcorn and drinks. Won't cost you anything. And I do want to say, my new accountability partner, Brother Nathan, wherever he is, I don't see him right now. But anyway, oh, there he is. He let me down because he didn't keep me out of trouble with Janet. I went out and I said that we were going to have an event before I asked Janet about it. And that very nearly got me in trouble, but I was lucky. Nothing was scheduled for next Saturday. But she did slap my hand very nicely. Also, Thursday, October 15th, which would be, I guess, a week from Thursday, from 7 to 8, we will have an informational meeting, a Q&A, and we want you to bring your questions. And it'll be short, just for an hour. We'll have the answers. We won't have child care this time. Normally, we do have child care as part of Celebrate Recovery. But with COVID and everything going on, we're not going to be able to have child care that Thursday. But Brenda and I will be there to answer questions. Brenda will answer questions that are appropriate for the women, and I'll handle the ones for the men. And then on the first Thursday of November, we'll begin something called Step Studies, which is a requirement if you're going to be a leader in Celebrate Recovery. And again, Brenda will lead the women in that, and I will lead the men. And then finally, February, we'll begin the training of leaders. and with the idea that in the 1st of May, we will launch Celebrate Recovery here at Leander. The reason we're delaying that a little bit out is just because of COVID and giving us time to adjust to all those kind of things that have made our lives crazy. And then finally, also, Brenda and I will be back at the information desk right after church this morning. And a lot of you came by, signed up, asked some really great questions. We appreciate that. So let me just also say, what does a CR meeting look like? First of all, we have a fellowship meal from 6:30 to 7:00. And that it will be on Thursday nights. I guess I didn't mention that. We will be meeting on Thursday nights. And it'll be from 6:30 to 7:00. We'll have a fellowship meal. From 7 to 8, we have a large group meeting, which is kind of like a very informal devotional, which is a non-corporate worship time. And I want to say it'll be a celebratory time. It'll be lighthearted. And Brother Ray has agreed to be our worship leader for us. Then from 8 to 9, we have what we call a small group meetings. That's where those different topics I mentioned a while ago will be covered, those individual topics. And the men and women are separated during that time. And then we have a fellowship time from 9 to 9:30. So that's all the information on the rollout. I wanted to just talk for a few minutes just on some Celebrate Recovery things that are near and dear to my heart. We find that first of all, transformation is through transparency. We have to stop hiding and admit that we are powerless. One of the things we find in Celebrate Recovery is that we are powerless to handle all of our bad habits. Think about that. If you've been dealing with a bad habit or something that's hurt you all your life, and you haven't fixed it yet, you found out that you're powerless against that. Where the power comes from, Jesus Christ, and that's what we learn. So, and then the second thing is, if you want to be forgiven, you ask that of God, and He forgives you. But if you want to be healed, you confess that sin one to another. And again, that's exactly what James 5:16 says. He says, confess your sins to one another so that you'll be what? Healed. Okay? So that really helps us. So how many of us have hidden our hurts and our habits, and we keep those things to ourselves? You know, it's like we're afraid to expose those things, but by not exposing those things, those things become baggage. And what happens when you get rid of baggage? You feel free. You're lighter. You're able to do things in life. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is about, is to get rid of all of that baggage. And especially, it's about coming clean with our lives. One of the things I found out that the functional reason for a lot of my issues that I had in my life was, and some of you that have gotten to know me could already say, that I'm impulsive. I have a tendency to if something comes into my head, I don't stop to think about it, it just comes right out of my mouth. It gets me into trouble sometimes. And the great thing that I found out, how I found out about that was by a trusted friend, somebody that was my accountability partner, that we had confessed our sins one to another, that just said, you know, the reason why you get yourself in trouble sometimes, O.R., is because of the fact that you're so dadgone impulsive. So it's very important about us gaining trust. And I don't want you to worry if you come to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. It's not like that you're going to be expected the first time that you walk up to somebody and you don't know them very well and you say, hey, Richard, my name's O.R. Leslie, and by the way, I have a drinking problem. No, it's you get to know the person and you get to where you trust them, and then you can open up and have that conversation. Another thing is that about being honest and everything, you have to admit your mistakes. I want to clear something up from last week. I mentioned to you a young lady by the name of Erica, and I said that her children were taken away from her. Now, I guess I left that to make it sound like they had been taken legally away from her. They had not been taken legally away from her. It's just she was unsafe to handle the children, and so they had been transferred to her parents. So I just wanted to make that clear. The next thing that's so important is the church can become a hospital for the transformation, for the hurting, where people just aren't having their ears tickled, but where we get real. Most of us have experienced in church where you go up to somebody, and I might go up to Nathan and say, "Hey, Nathan, how are you doing today?" And he says, "Oh, I'm fine." And I say, "Oh, great, I'm fine too." Well, we know that's not usually the way it is. So in Celebrate Recovery, when you go up to somebody, they'll say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" You'll probably hear how they're really doing. And that'll scare us sometimes, like, whoa, I didn't want that much information. But we get to where we really reach out and we tell each other and talk to each other about what we care about. People will be healed. Me and my family have experienced it, especially. One of the ways that I experienced that was when I was going through my worst times and my sin in my life was exposed, I was feeling sorry for myself. And I was expressing how upset I was with my life and things didn't seem fair. And my daughter came up to me and looked at me and said, "Dad, not one time have you asked me how I'm doing." Wow. I'm not that person anymore. But that's what it took, is somebody to confront me so that I could start healing and being the person that wasn't so selfish. People will be saved because of Celebrate Recovery. We will have conversions. We will have baptisms. We will get that baptistry going. Families will be united. People that heal together get to know each other. And that will absolutely happen. Satan will lose some of his best subjects. And people will be challenged. I want to read this to you. This just happened yesterday. I got this from our preacher, Danny Campbell, back in Virginia. "Jimmy Ross hit our church like a house on fire. When he came to us, he was in crisis, but also on fire for Christ. He was a strange and wonderful combination of zeal, frustration, joy, humor, and anger, all balled up into one body that was dying of kidney failure. Yet he didn't know how to sit still. I liked him from the moment we first met, and I also wondered what we could do with or to us. Almost immediately, he found Celebrate Recovery. Soon after that, he began to get some healing. After that, he ran around in what I guess we should call Jimmy's Joy Bus. It was actually, at the end, it was my mom's old minivan that he was driving around. And he started picking up people off the street, and he would bring them to Celebrate Recovery. And then they would be baptized, and then they would show up in the church pews. And I'm telling you, they weren't like all of us. Some of them had purple hair, pink hair. They had tattoos. And that may be a scary thought to some of us, but those people need Christ in their lives. And they came in, and Jimmy brought them. Jimmy crossed over the Jordan yesterday. His overtaxed body finally gave up to several life-threatening conditions, which he had already beaten the coronavirus, amazingly. But he passed away yesterday. I miss him terribly and have been weeping much of the afternoon, but I also rejoice when I remember the healing he found at Celebrate Recovery and the zeal with which he brought people into the kingdom." That's the kind of folks that we will find within Celebrate Recovery are people that are zealous, that they have seen their life change. And you know how zealous people are. They want to share it with everybody. And that's going to be something that's going to happen. And then finally, we're going to be needing a lot of people. And again, we're going to need all of you. We're going to need people to help set up, we're going to need people that can help cook. We're going to need people that can be greeters. We're going to need people that can lead small groups. We're going to need people that can lead, all those kind of things. So we need you guys. We need a lot of people for the ministry. And again, I just thank you so much that this church has and the eldership believes in what this program can do. In just a moment, we're going to show a video, and then Nathan's going to talk. This is going to touch you, but it's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
Well, the platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust. Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then,
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no,
chisel.
No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh my gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. this salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father discipline his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
You know, every time I've watched that clip, it's been around for years. Every time I've shown that clip or every time I've seen it, and I see something different every time. And you want to know what I saw this time? My eyes kept going from the screen to our vision statement. And one word jumps out at me more now than it ever has before. It's a word that I've glossed over each time, but I think this word sums up what Celebrate Recovery is all about. And it's Leander Church of Christ seeks to be a people shaped. Shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what the ministry of Celebrate Recovery is all about. It's a shaping ministry. And that clip is just a practical picture of what every single person who walks through the doors of Celebrate Recovery is going through. But that's not why it sticks with me so much. The reason I love that is it's not only what every person who comes in off the streets coming into Celebrate Recovery is going through. I love that clip because that story is my story. That story is our story. And so I want to share with you a story of someone who was shaped by Celebrate Recovery. Of course, I was preaching at a church before this that had the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. So I called and got a story from one of the church members who was there and attended church and then stumbled into Celebrate Recovery. And I want to share with you what he said. He said, "I am a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with control, anger, and self-reliance. My name is David. I am a 60-year-old man who has never lived a minute of my life without the knowledge and love of Jesus. That being said, I knew Jesus loved me, but I wasn't sure what to do with his love." That's an interesting statement. Growing up in the church was indeed a blessing that allowed me to have some very healthy boundaries on which to build my faith. And for that, I will be forever grateful. However, one thing that was missing from the church I grew up in was broken people. Or at least that was my perception of church and religion as a whole. I viewed religious people as really good people who had arrived and didn't struggle with the things that I struggled with, which left me wondering when I would arrive at this saintly status. That view is laughable at best. But nonetheless, it was my view. And as you can imagine, it left me very confused and with a very unhealthy understanding of the need of grace in my own life. I felt totally inadequate to serve God and to be the man that he called me to be. And that's exactly what Satan wanted. I worked extremely hard to prove myself as a good and godly man. I taught Bible classes. I led men's groups and even hosted and led a house church. We would call it a connect group. In my home over 12 years. All of those activities were blessings in my life and the lives of others, but there was still a missing component. The best way I can describe it is, in all the groups, I always had a fear of really letting people know my struggles. I felt I would be looked at as weak or inadequate. And the insanity of it all is that I was trying to be God's man without God's help. I was trying to be adequate on my own merits, not on the grace of my higher power, Jesus Christ. About 17 or 18 years ago, I was introduced to a program called Celebrate Recovery. At the time, I didn't think much about it. I wasn't an addict. I wasn't a drunk. I got involved in a step study on Wednesday nights at church and started going to CR meetings on Friday nights. All the while, I was thinking in the back of my mind that I would really be able to help some of these people. I love that. Fast forward to September 2020, I'm a different man. Not because I arrived to the elusive saintly status that I thought was required to be the man God wanted me to be, but because I have people in my life that love me right where I am. I struggle daily with anger, but I have people in my life now that keep me accountable. They challenge me to live one day at a time and to experience the grace of God, even on the days where I really blow it. I am proud to say that I have experienced the grace of God. I'm proud to say that I have found the broken people in church, and I am quite comfortable with them. And then in parentheses, he also added, I never thought my best friends would be convicts and addicts, but they have truly taught me to worship my Creator and to be grateful for His grace and mercy. They taught me what it really means to trust in God on a daily basis. In short, rescue people rescued me. The biggest blessing I have received in being involved in Celebrate Recovery is that I now know what to do with the love of Jesus. I have learned to love others right where they are. I've learned to look at people not see the weaknesses it took for them to fall, but the strength that it took for them to recover. And the broken people, well, they're easy to find now. I just start every morning by looking in the mirror. If you don't have or are considering starting a new Celebrate Recovery program at your church, let me encourage you not only to start it, but to really get behind it and watch how broken people can change the landscape of your church. And who knows, you may find the blessing of brokenness helps you find a truly satisfying relationship with Christ. Thanks for letting me share, David. I don't know if David's watching online or if he'll watch the recording later, but thank you so much, David. That means a lot. It's really interesting to see such brokenness and transparency. There's a level of uncomfortableness, is that a word? With transparency, when you open up. But it's through the transparency that healing can really begin in our lives. And that is why I love this ministry. Is Celebrate Recovery the only place where you can be transparent? Are all church conversations and hi, how are you doings like OR portrayed them to be? A lot of times they are, but not always. And hopefully our church will not be the church that's just going to act like everything's wonderful all the time. But it's impossible to walk into a Celebrate Recovery meeting and not feel the transparency of others. And that is infectious, and it will really help to lead others to want to open up as well. And I think change is coming. What I love about Celebrate Recovery is that it is a shaping ministry. And it's not just for the shattered, but it's for the splintered. It's not just for the broken, but it's also for the bruised. It's not for the discouraged, just the discouraged, but also for the defeated. I mean, it's for people who are completely broken and completely gone and completely addicted and convicted and broken and at the lowest point of their life. And it's also for those who have been going to church and attending church their whole lives. This is not for just the old people or just the young people. This is for anyone who struggles. And I think that's all of us. And so here's my encouragement that I want to leave you with this morning. If you want to stay where you are and you like your faith where it's at, then don't go to CR, because I promise you, you will change. Movement, it's a moving ministry, and movement will happen. But if you want to be shaped, if you want to stand before God and let Him chisel away at you and shape you and mold you into His image, then I encourage you to come to this ministry. I encourage you to join me, to join OR, and join your brothers and sisters in a step study, and let's get this thing rolling. We never want to leave without an invitation, and so if you're just really convicted and you're going, man, you know what, this morning I'm realizing I've got a lot of stuff I need to work on, and you need some prayers of your church family, if you want to be baptized into Jesus, whatever you need, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and sing.